Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Ambassador Elin Suleymanov, the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom. He is in Baku at the moment. He's often in London, and I'm very pleased that he's here because during the conflict zone, Ukraine is dominating the news since February of 2022. Lost in some of the reporting is what is happening along the very fragile peace between Armenia and Azerbaijan over the territory of Nagorno-Karabakh. There are stories coming through all the time that are quite fantastic and alarming. Now, there are Russian peacekeepers present. That was part of the conclusion of the conflict in late 2020. I traveled to the region again after the war ended and toured some of the ruins of large cities that were bombarded with missiles right in the middle of populations. Now, at the time in 2020, that was seen as extraordinary and aggressive. Now we take it for granted because of the missile attacks on the people of Ukraine. What's important to me, though, is to get back to what is happening in Nagorno-Karabakh and the whole region. You will recall that the close of the conflict in late 2020, Nagorno-Karabakh was reclaimed by Azerbaijan. It's sovereign Azerbaijan. It's recognized around the world, recognized by the United Nations, all transnational bodies. That is Azerbaijan. It was occupied by Armenia from the late 20th century all the way to 2020. Since then, there have been very difficult reports coming through all the time about Armenian aggression and provocation, and now claims by Armenia of quite fantastic genocide towards the 100,000 people that are said to live there who moved into Nagorno-Karabakh after its annexation by Armenia. Mr. Ambassador, I don't want to give any more of a summary because things have changed a lot since I was last there. What is the state of the development of Nagorno-Karabakh? The President Aliyev had great plans when I last spoke of these matters to transform Nagorno-Karabakh into a modern state. How's it doing?
Thank you. Thank you, John. I mean, we spoke earlier about Thomas Goetz, and one of his greatest achievements was to see and to report the truth about what happened in the 1990s, including the massacres by Armenian forces, the occupation, the ethnic cleansing. And I was very happy to see just before Thomas left us that he was able to come back to Shusha, which was liberated, to free Shusha, and to see people there, to see people returning, to see some of the refugees he met earlier return to their houses, their homes. And he was greeted by President Aliyev, who told him that he was a tireless advocate for justice, and that's his most characteristic trait. The reason I'm saying is that we had a conflict, we had a war. It's time to rebuild. And you could see, as you're absolutely right, that President Aliyev has a very ambitious agenda on rebuilding the region. The refugees are coming back. We're building roads. We're putting together connectivity projects, green energy projects, which will bring this area devastated by war back to life. And it's in a direct contrast, in a very stark contrast with what our Armenian neighbors are doing, speaking about, so-called genocide again. The genocide word has been so overused by now. This is actually this is very disrespectful to the real victims of genocides around the world. All what is happening today is that the Prime Minister of Armenia has publicly said that Karabakh is part of Azerbaijan. This is a very welcome statement, yes. But there are no actions following to that. There are still military personnel from Armenia present on Azerbaijani territories. There are still landmines thrown around Azerbaijani lands, killing civilians. And some people still do not want to accept the fact that Karabakh is part of Azerbaijan by international law, by international justice, and that's just what it is. And, you know, this is very sad because the first victims in all this are the very civilian Armenians, very, you know, ordinary citizens who are being held hostage by all these political agendas and ambitions instead of letting them integrate with Azerbaijan, live with their Azerbaijani neighbors. So we all build a good, prosperous neighborhood. Look, John, so many people fought wars. So many people had bitter experience, but they were able to overcome it, sit down, break the deadlock, you know, and build communities, rebuild countries, come together and make a prosperous region. This is a historic chance for us. Our Armenian neighbors should understand and should engage with us, with other neighbors, to build a region. Look, in our region, it's not only Armenians who live in our region. Our region does not consist only of Armenians. Instead of building a better region for all of us, international community members, some other people are talking only about ethnic Armenians. I mean, this is becoming an ethnically dominated issue, which is counterproductive for the Armenians themselves, first and foremost.
I want to remember a couple of things that bothered me at the time and update them. For example, what I learned in 2020 was that the retreating Armenian forces had deliberately cut down all the trees and damaged the water system and destroyed cemeteries. Has that all been repaired? Are you planting new trees? Because it's an agricultural land, I'm told, of many mountain passes. Quite gorgeous. You were there as a child.
Yes, I grew up in those areas. It's a beautiful area. John, you were right. There was a lot of damage done. We're trying to do what we can. We're trying to rebuild. We're trying to resettle. We're trying to reforestate, you know, replant the trees. One of the problems is the most important problem, and I'm grateful for both American and British friends who are providing support to the mining efforts, is that landmines are everywhere. The retreating Armenian forces did not just cut the trees or destroy the cemeteries. They also planted booby traps and mines, landmines everywhere. I mean, we're talking about Ukraine. Azerbaijan today, Azerbaijan, despite its own significant landmine problem, is providing landmine assistance to Ukraine and landmine clearing vehicles to Ukraine because we understand how big the problem is. For us, this is a priority number one. This is the most important, it's the most dangerous challenge we have. And imagine against that background, when we say to our Armenian citizens, look, we will provide you with every need you have. We will provide you with anything you need, with all the necessities, with all the supplies. What the response to us is that, no, we don't want to accept anything from Azerbaijan. We only want to accept something from the other side. And if you do want to provide us with something and don't want us to cross the border uncontrolled, this is genocide.
Right.
Well, in reality, planting mines is much closer to genocide than actually trying to offer assistance to a different route. I mean, you know.
Ambassador Alin Suleymanov, the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom, formerly the ambassador to the United States of America, remembering the author Thomas Goltz, who was a pioneer in what is now a critical energy lifeline for Europe from the Caspian Sea Basin, also remembering Lee Mason, my producer, who introduced me to Thomas Goltz and to the legend of Thomas Goltz and Alin Suleymanov wandering the South Caucasus once upon a time. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.